hearts be deeply challenged by the whole idea of what it means to live our life in a way that pleases God. This evening we are going to take up that topic, but what it means to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, before we do that, let's turn to a memory verse, and that is taken from page 10, Ephesians 5, and verse 8. And this is the challenge of what it means to walk as children of light. Okay, well, let's read this verse together. Ready, go. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is to walk as children of light. The beginning of this chapter, Paul was writing about the whole idea of what it means to be imitators of God. And he goes on to talk about what it means to walk in love as dear children of God. And in this passage, the emphasis is on being obedient children. Children of God that will walk in love, that will walk in wisdom, that will walk in the light, not in darkness. Okay, we were once walking in darkness, and you know, our challenge now is to walk in the light. And if we don't, the tendency for us is to go back to walking in darkness. And so here Paul is challenging the brethren at the Ephesus church what it means to walk as children of light. And we learn what it means to do so, to walk in the light, to receive that light, to walk as children of light. Okay, well, let's read this verse one more time. Ready, go. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we take up God's word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and ask this evening that you will help us consider what it means to walk as children of light, even as we think about our lives and how we are living for you. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to be honest before you. And we ask, dear Lord, that you will help us to look at our lives, evaluate our life, evaluate our walk with you. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will enable us to be able to understand further your word concerning this. So bless us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In everything in life, in everything we do, in everything that we do in society, there must always be standards. We look for standards in school. We look for standards as a worker. We look for standards in everything. There must always be standards. We learn how to drive a car. There must be standards. You must first pass your driving test. And I still remember when I took my driving test many years ago, some 20 something years ago, and I failed 3 times. First time, I remember taking the test. Pastor Mark was with me. We were all very excited. And I was driving the car with my instructor, with this tester, and we were coming to a corner, and there was a small little pedestrian crossing, a little island just before the main crossing, and so I was turning to the left, and all of a sudden a lady just appeared out of nowhere, and I just went through the pedestrian crossing, and the tester looked at me and said, "Hey, you never see the woman." Then I said, "What woman?" And that was it. Immediate failure. And I was so discouraged. On the way back, I had 2 more immediate failures. So I had 3 immediate failures, and I was a failure 3 times. Second time, I went beyond the marks. And the third time, I had a tester who was very lenient. And I remember Pastor Mark was there, and he told me, you know, our instructor actually said, when he saw the tester, he said, "Hey, can pass this one." And he was very lenient. And throughout, you know, he was very nice. I was also very steady. When I came in and did the, you know, parallel parking, and my instructor told Pastor Mark, can pass really, sure can pass really. And I didn't knock down any poles. And, you know, when he marked this, you know, he marked all the different things, and he gave me some advice, and finally he said, "You pass." Wow, what great joy. You know, I actually jumped with my license. You know, we all look for standards. Standards in everything. How about with reference to our Christian walk? Does God look for standards? My answer is yes. God expects certain standards with reference to how we live and walk with God. And let me define, let's begin with a definition of walking worthy of God. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 12. Let me try to define this. First, God sets a standard for all to meet, that you would walk worthy of God. And God expects standards. Standards that are meant to be met. Okay? Now, you put one finger there and you turn with me to Matthew 10, verse 37. What are some of these standards? Are they impossible to meet? Well, let's take a look at Matthew 10 and in verse 37. And we read of how in verse 32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men," in other words, you set aside your faith, you do not stand up for your faith, you do not confess the Lord before others, you are ashamed of him, "I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword." Okay? And then in verse 37 we read, "He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, the Lord Jesus is not saying that we do not love our father or our mothers or our sons or daughters. But what he wants us to do is to be able to love him beyond anyone. To love the Lord above our children. To love the Lord above father or mother. That we can follow him in the challenges of life. And the idea here is that we are meant to put the Lord Jesus first, above family. I still remember the time when before I got married, last week, Pastor Mark talked about a lot of things about marriage. So I was inspired by him. I thought I would share something about my marriage. My marriage, before I got married, I told my wife Stephanie, "I need to tell you something. Okay? And I don't know whether you accept this. If you don't accept this, then we don't get married. But if you can accept this, then we get married." And I told her, there are three things that you want to consider, okay? One, God comes first. The Lord Jesus comes first, and that's the first thing. Two, the church comes second. Ministry comes second. And three is you. I say, "Can you accept it?" And she said, "Yes, willingly." And I was happy about that. So we got married after that. And but you know, I had to do that because, you know, it's about putting the Lord first. To love the Lord above all things. And here the Lord wants us to consider this. If we truly want to walk worthy of Him, can we love Him above everything? above our work, above our friends, above the things that we treasure in this life. Can we treasure the things that are in heaven far more than things on this earth? And that's something that the Lord wants us to consider. Turn with me to another passage, and this time let's turn to Mark chapter 8. Okay, let's turn to in Mark chapter 8, we read in verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now the word denying ourselves, the word denying in Greek, it's a very, very strong word. It means to disown yourself. It is to set yourself aside. It is a compounded word. In other words, it is made up of two words. And for the Greek grammarians, what they do is that in order to bring something, to emphasize something in a very strong way, they combine words. And so this is a compound word. And this idea of, you know, the challenge is to strongly set oneself aside. Okay? It is to all that is of self, we deny ourselves. And we take up his cross, and then we would follow and accompany the Lord. And that's the challenge. The challenge is also, can we also suffer for him? Can we love him enough to suffer for him? And God evaluates. God evaluates whether a person meets that standard. I don't think it is too high a standard that we cannot meet. I think it's a standard that God wants us to consider. To be able to love him first, above all things. And to also suffer for him along the way. Because he's worth suffering for. And let's consider, let's think about what are our motivation. What are some reasons for us to truly walk worthy of God? Okay, now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, we read of chapter 2 and in verse 12, we read of this whole idea of walk worthy of God, that you may walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And that one reason that we want to consider about walking worthy of God is that God gives us a great calling. A great calling to walk worthy. A great calling to enter into his kingdom. To be part of this great kingdom of God and to glory, to walk towards glory. Okay? Now there's tremendous purpose in this. There is a tremendous sense of purpose and drive to want to walk worthy of God. There is a blending of purpose and goal. See, what is our goal in life? And we all have different goals in life. But here he blends both goal and purpose to walk worthy. You know, there is a tremendous sense of purpose here. Okay, the challenge is to walk worthy who calls us into his own kingdom. The word worthy here is a very interesting word. Okay, it's where you get a word excess. And it's describing a balance. Okay, a balance where you can weigh one, the worth of one thing and the worth of another thing. And so we ask ourselves, are we truly walking worthy of God? Of what he has done for us? Okay? And here he says, it's a very interesting word where he says, who calls you? Very often we tend to see the word called as in a past tense. Called you into salvation. Okay? But here is what we call in the Greek. It's called a present participle. The present participle is an ongoing thing. In other words, the calling is not a one-time thing. It is a continuous thing. God calls you again and again and again. God calls you into His kingdom. And then He calls you again to continue in His kingdom from the very beginning to the end. So the calling is not just a one-time thing. It is a continuous thing. It is something that we can sense, a sense of calling. See, when I was young, I had this calling. Calling to be part of His kingdom. A calling to salvation. That's, okay, that's something that we all have experienced. To be part of God's kingdom. And then, but more than that, the calling to be reaffirmed. To stand before others. The calling to be a servant of the Lord. The calling to be a pastor. To be a student pastor first. The calling to be an assistant pastor. The calling to be an associate pastor. And different steps. The calling to be different things that God wants us to be at different times. Called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And this is very similar to the idea of the upward call of God. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Okay, and in the book of Philippians, we read of this calling. And this was something that we learned at the youth conference. In Philippians chapter 3. And this is something that Paul wrote. I press toward the goal in verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, calling is not a one-time thing. It is not a static thing. It is a continuous thing. See, God calls us at different times to do different things. Same thing for many of us. At this point of time, for some of us, we are students. So God wants us to be the best student that we can be. To walk worthy of what it means to be a student. To walk worthy as a husband or a wife. To walk worthy as a worker. To walk worthy as a father or a mother. To walk worthy of God. At different times, at different stages of our life. And here is something that God calls. The God who calls. Okay, and that's something we want to. God calls us again and again. Here is the God who calls. You know, in the Old Testament, it's a very interesting phrase that we come across from time to time. And it's the name of the Lord. The Lord, the God who forgives. The God who calls. The God who sees. Remember? In Genesis 16, He's called the you are the God who sees. Right? So here in 1 Thessalonians, He is known as the God who calls. And God calls us. God gives us a tremendous sense of purpose to walk worthy. And that's something for us to think about. To be part of His kingdom. You know, this calling is something that is relevant. It is fresh. It is something that we want to consider. God calls us to be part of His kingdom. God calls us to glory. To be holy. To obtain glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to glory. You know, when I was young, there was this show that I was very, very impacted by. It's entitled Called to Glory. And it was a show about Air Force pilot and how he lived his life. You know, he would fly the plane and at the same time it would be about his family life. And I can't remember the show, but I can remember the title. And I was very inspired by this title, Called to Glory. And you know, brethren, we are also called to glory. God calls us to glory again and again and again, to be what He wants us to be in every way, as a worker, as a son, as a daughter, as a father, as a mother. A few weeks time we are going to celebrate Father's Day, and our challenge is, are we the kind of father that would truly walk worthy of God? You know, and that's something for us to think about. Are you walking worthy as a son? Are you walking worthy as a servant of God? And these are things that we want to consider. Another thing that we want to consider in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 is the whole idea of God's approval, accountability to God. You know, we are accountable to God. And for Paul and his company, they were accountable to God. God testing the heart, verse 4, God as witness. You know, we want to walk worthy because we are accountable to God. God looks at our life. God evaluates our life. God tests our hearts. Are we walking worthy of Him? Colossians 1 verse 10 talks about walking worthy of God, fully pleasing Him. And that's something for us to think about. Are we truly pleasing Him? Last Sunday, I was having dinner with Alex and his family and my godchildren. And we were having dinner, and halfway through, Ashley spoke to me, and she asked me a very weird question. She asked me, "Are you married?" I said, "What a weird question." I said, "Are you married?" I said, "Yes, I'm married. I'm married to your godma. You know, Stephanie was sitting next to her, and I said, "Yes, I'm married." And she looked at me and said, "Oh, you're married." I said, "Yes, I'm married to godma. I'm godpa. She's godma." And she looked at me. I said, "Why do you ask this question?" And she said, she gave a very, very profound reply. She said, "Why do you think I'm not married?" I asked her. And she said, "Because you don't look at godma." You know, throughout the dinner, she noticed that I wasn't looking at godma. Wow. After that, my wife came up to me and said, "You better look at me more often." My reply is, "Because I focus on you, I look at you and Asher, and I didn't have time to look at godma." Then I say, "Okay, next time I will look at godma." Okay, got a glance at her and... huh? And you know, God looks upon our life. And He evaluates. And we ask ourselves, are we pleasing Him? And that's something for us to really think about this evening. And as we think about this, you know, I'm very challenged by the example of Paul and how he lived his life. You know, he lived such a transparent life before God and before everyone. In 1 Thessalonians 2, let's go back, you know, let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 2. And from verse 1 all the way to verse 12, Paul lays before everyone the kind of life he lived. Now, I won't go into everything, but you can see that he lived a very transparent life. He lived a life where people could see. He lived his life where he wasn't concerned about money. He wasn't concerned about pleasing people. He wasn't concerned about using flattering words. He wasn't concerned about things that he wanted, a sense of covetousness. You know, he lived an honest life before God. And he was transparent. He was very, you know, and I To me, this is something that I am deeply inspired by. He sought to walk worthy before God. Look, in verse 3, it says, "For our exaltation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit." You see, sometimes when people preach God's word, they can do it to stir the heart so that you can give. They can do it for all kinds of wrong reasons. And Paul was very concerned about this. You know, you look at his life. He suffered. He went through suffering. How he was, in verse 2, he was spitefully treated at Philippi. "And we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." You know, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't there to please people. He was there to please God above all things. And then in verse 10, we read, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe." And I like this phrase. You know, this was a phrase that really challenged me. When no one's looking, when you are all alone, when you are in a faraway country, what are you? Will you continue to be devout? Will you continue to be just? Will you continue to be blameless? Wow, you know, to me, this was something I was very conscious about. You know, when I was in Korea, and the thing that I really enjoyed most in the morning, throughout the day, in the morning was the best time of the day, where I would spend that 2 hours in the morning reading the scriptures before my wife would get up, before my parents, before I would meet them for breakfast. That 2 hours reading the scriptures again and again and again, that was something that brought a lot of joy to my heart. You know, I can be on overseas, I can be away from church, but that's something I enjoy most. It is something I enjoy most here. It is something I enjoy most anywhere I go. I continue to seek to be devoted to God. And you know, that's something I sought to do. When I was on a plane, I was watching a show during the meal time. Every time when the food comes, you can't read, you can't do anything. So I normally try to catch a movie. And I was watching this show called Monument Men. Okay, I don't know whether you know the show, but you know, it was about during World War II, and they were trying to save artifacts and artworks, and I thought maybe that would be interesting. So I watched, and after 5 minutes, they were using vulgar language. You know, all the expletives came out, and I was a bit put off. I actually switched shows. So I didn't want to spoil the moment, and I looked, and I tried to find a show that I felt that there was no vulgar language. So in the end, I watched Frozen. I felt there wasn't going to be any vulgar language, and I've heard so much about it. Everybody's been saying, "Let it go, let it go." So I just wanted to watch it, finally. And it was a not too bad show. But you know, wherever you go, wherever you are, do you live blamelessly? And when we look at the life of Paul, he sought to do that. He sought to be blameless in everything he did. And you know, this evening, brethren, you know, we have every encouragement. We have every encouragement to walk worthy of God. Here is an encouragement from a spiritual father. He exalted them in verse 11. "As you know how we exalted you, comforted you, and charged you. Charged every one of you as a father does his own children." You know, here is the encouragement. And I'm sure many of us have been encouraged by Pastor. He has continued to encourage us, continue to exalt us, continue to even charge us at times. You know, he's like a spiritual father to many of us. And I'm like a spiritual father to some of you. And I've been there with you. And you know, you have every encouragement to walk worthy of God. And we also have the example of the Thessalonians. They also sought to walk worthy of God. They were going through hard times. They were going through suffering. And yet they listened to Paul and they responded. They received the word of God from Paul. In verse 13 it says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Now what is outstanding about the Thessalonians is their way, is the way they received the word of God. And the moment they received the word of God, they heard the word of God from Paul, and they received it as if it was the very words of God. And they believed in it, and that moment when they believed, it worked effectively in them. And they became followers of God. They became followers of them. They became imitators of Paul and the others. Verse chapter 1, verse 6, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." So you became examples in all in Macedonia. You know, we have every encouragement to walk worthy of God. Yes, it's tough. It's not easy at times. But you know, we can be like the Thessalonians. They saw again and again. Paul kept saying this, you know, as you see. And sometimes the more you see, the more you understand, the more you know, this know here is a deep understanding. The more we see the pastor, the way he lives his life, the more we are challenged to become like Paul, like the Lord Jesus, and like pastor. So the more I spend time with him, the more I am deeply challenged to be like him, to be like Paul, and especially to be like the Lord Jesus. And so they followed the example of Paul and Timothy. And we have every encouragement. Every encouragement to walk worthy of God, who calls us. No, let's not set aside God's calling. God's calling is not a one-time thing. He continues to call again and again. And he calls us to be part of His kingdom and to continue to walk worthy in His kingdom and to walk towards glory. And one day, Christ will come for us and we will walk all the way to heaven with Him. And that's something that we can look forward to. You know, we have every encouragement to walk worthy. And brethren, this evening, let us also walk worthy of the Lord by following Paul's example. Okay, well, let's prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. "And now may this great God, who rules the heavens and the earth, this great God who has called us into His own kingdom and glory, be with us and enable us to be all that He wants us to be. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ enable us to give our very best to the Master, that He will strengthen us, that we can live lives that are blameless, devoutly, and justly before men and before God. And may the Spirit of God encourage our hearts. Be with us in a very special way. Comfort us, exalt us through His servants and through each other, now and forever, till the Lord comes for us, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen."